Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Deintegrate, a Jewish survival guide for the 21st century. By Max Cholek. Narrated by Rebecca Gibble. Introduction. Deintegrate yourselves. The book you hold in your hands is not a moving biographical account. It's not about the history of my family, about how a part of it was murdered. Nor is it about the miraculous survival of my communist Jewish grandfather and the lives of his wife and children in the German Democratic Republic, East Germany. This book is not about my own experiences with anti-Semitism any more than it is about my relationship to Israel. Because you all already know these stories. You can read about them in books, watch them at the cinema, hear about them at a klezmer concert, or experience them at the theater. You may not realize it, but you already know everything about Jewish literature, Jewish music, Jewish biographies. In case you've forgotten, you just need to look it up. This book will proceed differently. Instead, I will attempt to analyze the German image of the Jews and ask, what, if anything, do living Jewish people have to do with this picture? This can be entertaining at times, and at other times depressing. I believe that the official representation of the Jews in Germany reveals much more about German society's own self-conception than it does about Jewish people. Since reunification, German society has developed an increasing aspiration for normality. Is everything back to normal again? Given recent political developments, this notion has become even more suspect than it already was. The AfD, Pegida, NSU, there is little in Germany that I regard as normal. And this lack of normality is manifest as much in the awkward relationship between Jews and Germans today as it is, more fundamentally, in the way the concept of belonging gets discussed in this part of the world. The book you hold in your hands concerns these things. Alternative für Deutschland, alternative for Germany, an increasingly successful far-right political party with seats in the Bundestag. Patriotische Europäer gegen die Islamisierung des Abendlandes, patriotic Europeans against the Islamization of the Occident. A far-right political movement founded in Dresden. Nationalsozialistischer Untergrund, National Socialist Underground, a neo-Nazi terrorist organization responsible for a series of high-profile murders and other crimes in the late 1990s and early 2000s. And so, dear readers, when I bid you to deintegrate yourselves, I'm also trying to problematize those supposedly positive forms of nationalism that lurk behind concepts like German Leitkultur, guiding culture. Leitkultur signifies the hegemony or guiding culture of the dominant social group, one of the central components in the integration narrative. A Judeo-Christian West, or the recent founding of a German Heimatministerium, Ministry of Homeland. Heimat is a contested and politically loaded term for homeland, among other things, associated with National Socialist ambitions for expansion, nostalgia for the lost, formerly German-speaking territories in Central and Eastern Europe, and deeply intertwined with the fantasy of an ethnically and politically homogeneous nation, or Volk. Because this term is highly culturally specific within a German language context, it is frequently left untranslated in the remaining text, i.e., Ministry of Heimat. I offer my critique of these concepts from a Jewish perspective, and this perspective also includes analyses of Germany's changing self-image over the past decades, because if we're going to talk about Jews living in Germany today, we cannot keep quiet about the Germans in Germany. Who is considered Jewish in Germany today? Someone with a Jewish mother? Someone who can exhibit their Jewish biography? Someone who can tell good jokes? Someone with relatives in Israel? Someone who eats bone-dry, unleavened bread for a week instead of Easter eggs? Someone who has read all the Philip Roth novels, watched all the seasons of Seinfeld, or hung a poster of the Jewish rapper Drake in their bedroom? Is a person Jewish because they are neurotic, or neurotic because they are a Jew? Because their own family was in Auschwitz? Because they can't help but want to sleep with blonde people? Or because blonde people can't help but want to sleep with them? Is a Jewish person Jewish because they want to smash Nazis' heads in? Or is a person Jewish because they have to think about what it means to be a Jew? Just who comes to be considered Jewish in Germany is not something Jewish people themselves decide upon alone. It's not about one's own cultural or intellectual positionality, one's personal relationship to religion, ethnicity, or history. The Jews today are figures on the stage of Germany's theater of memory, a concept introduced by Berlin sociologist Y. Michael Bodemann in his 1996 work, Gedächtnistheater, Die jüdische Gemeinschaft und ihre deutsche Erfindung, Theater of Memory, The Jewish Community and Its German Invention. Bodemann employs this term to describe those well-trodden interactions between German society and its Jewish minorities, the Jewish role in a script titled The Good Germans. Because for decades now, the public role of Jews has existed to affirm the German redemption story. In 2016, there were approximately 100,000 official registered members of Jewish congregations living in Germany. If I were to increase this number to include those Jewish people who are not official members of Jewish congregations, the number would double to about 200,000. With a total of 82.5 million inhabitants, that's approximately 0.24% of Germany's population. Some of these people were born in Germany, others come from Russia or Eastern Europe, Israel, Yemen, Ethiopia, Iraq, France, or the United States. Many of my Jewish friends have moved to Germany over the last few years from all over the world. Some of them have no personal connection to the Shoah, thank God, and not all of them know how to play the clarinet or fiddle. Instead, they bring stories with them to Germany that do not necessarily correspond to the expectations of the Jewish and non-Jewish public here. The resulting diversity of Jewish histories can hardly compete with Germany's perpetually high demand for very particular Jewish characters. None of us were prepared for this diversity, and this includes the Jewish institutions in Germany, which have only reluctantly begun to reflect upon or actively seek to change their roles in the German theater of memory. The theater of memory creates a demand for specific Jewish figures who can reaffirm the assumption that German society has successfully processed and overcome its murderous past. One result of this demand is that the public visibility of Germany's relatively few Jewish inhabitants is at once conspicuously high and strikingly limited. There are other groups who also experience a similarly heavy burden of dominant social expectations. Muslims, for example, are permanently relegated in the public eye to making commentary on gender roles, terrorism, and integration. In doing so, they provide a foil for Germany's own self-conception as a nation of tolerant and enlightened human beings. In both cases, minority roles are interrogated from an unnamed position of power that remains conveniently invisible. I designate this dominant positionality as Achtung, German. In doing so, I by no means wish to imply that Jewish or Muslim people are not German citizens. Quite the opposite. Their disparate communities represent one of the few glimmers of hope for Germany. Yet, the social attribution of roles in this country has had the consequence that many perspectives and experiences are disregarded the very moment they cease to comply with German expectations. And as long as there remains no Central Council of Germans, Zentralrat der Deutschen, a play on the title of the organization's Zentralrat der Muslime in Deutschland, Zentralrat der Juden in Deutschland, Central Council of Muslims/Jews in Germany, and the expectation that these will speak for their corresponding communities in relation to conflicts with broader German society, to immediately distance itself from terror attacks committed by German terrorists, The markers, Jews, Muslims, and Germans, remain indispensable to a critical reflection on the asymmetrical speakers' positions of these social groups. This book concentrates primarily on the juxtaposition of Germans and Jews. In questioning the function of Jewish people in Germany over the following sections, I also want to give the snow globe of Germany's self-image a thorough shake. I believe that Germans have fundamentally misunderstood their responsibility for the past in their decades-long fantasy pursuit of a new normality. This became conspicuous at the very latest with the election of AfD representatives to the German Bundestag, German Parliament, both the building and the political body. But I think one could draw a line from the black, red, and gold excesses of the 2006 World Cup to the federal elections of 2017. That, of course, doesn't correspond to the prevailing interpretations. At the time, German Feuilletons celebrated the World Cup as an expression of positive nationalism, a new German lightness of being. Even today, people are loath to abandon this proud patting of one's own self on the back. This new nationalism was further underscored with the establishment of a government ministry of Heimat. Today, elected representatives in Germany are once again publicly prioritizing their support of Das Deutsche Volk, and in doing so, deliberately excluding those people with German passports but the wrong religious faith. This is normality in Germany. You may have already noticed, I did not write this book impartially or with the intention of examining these themes from every angle. I do not speak from a neutral position. I speak as a poet, a Berliner, and a Jew, in varying order. The histories of the descendants of German perpetrators interest me most where they directly impact my own life. But I have no particular empathy for their perspectives, nor do I resonate with calls for sympathy vis-à-vis Germany's stricken sense of national identity. Shortly before Christmas 2017, when the centrist SPD politician Sigmar Gabriel called for a positive reevaluation of German concepts like Heimat and guiding culture as a reaction to the electoral gains of the far-right AfD, I did not see this as an act of political pragmatism, but rather as the harbinger of a coming storm. After years of official calm, the winds had shifted back to nationalism, even for big party politics. The AfD is only a sideshow. Its influence is like that of an indicator fluid poured over the spectrum of German politics. Suddenly, things everywhere are staining Nazi brown. Counterintuitively, given contemporary English language associations with the word, in the context of German politics, where each political party is associated with a color on electoral maps, being brown is associated with National Socialism. Given this situation, I can only imagine two viable courses of action: building bridges of empathy toward the opposing camp, or strengthening and expanding one's own position. At least with this book, I'm not interested in building bridges. When I write about the present state of German-Jewish relations, and so about the present state of Germany itself, I am concerned above all with honing our intellectual tools. I consider the AfD and its voters my political opponents, opponents whom I take seriously. I do not believe that we have had a misunderstanding any more than I believe that we have much to say to one another. And this does not make for some banal observation in a time when all of Germany's major political parties are actively courting AfD voters. All of a sudden, it seems like everyone thinks it was a mistake not to just come out and reaffirm nationalist concepts. Of course, my rejection of bridges, red carpets, and friend requests from the new political camps of proud and Heimat-loving Germans doesn't mean that I've avoided engaging with their thinkers. Quite the contrary. But after reading such right-wing blockbusters as Metapolitik by Thor von Waldstein, Finis Germania by Rolf Peter Seiferle, and Mit Linken Leben, Living with Leftists, by Caroline Sommerfeld and Martin Lichtmetz, I've decided to postpone my studies at the Institute for National Policy for now. Despite evidence of its increasing popularity as an investigative field destination for the German mass media, Institut für Staatspolitik, IFS, founded in 2000, a private institution and think tank considered to be a driving force behind the intellectual and ideological developments of Germany's new right. Which is to say, I also think that it's important to study one's political opponents before making jokes about them. First of all, because these jokes are more fulfilling when you work hard for them. Secondly, an intervention grows more precise the better one knows one's enemy. But still, I have to admit, these readings were far from pleasurable. After ordering the aforementioned books, Google's algorithm immediately prompted me with links to Wehrmacht accessories from the supermarket EDEKA, links to Donald Trump's campaign speeches, and an invitation for a romantic spa night in Brandenburg, clinking crystal on Kristallnacht. Cohabitants or partners welcome. In their obnoxious 2017 Mit Linken Leben, Lichtmetz and Sommerfeld attempt to disguise their problematic political positions under the guise of alleged realism. The left lies to fabricate itself a better world, while the right has reason, morality, facts, and realism on its side. Page 21. I would like to counter their assertion with the claim that my own book is far more realistic than Mit Linken Leben. Say what you will, our social reality is one of sexual, political, ideological, and physical diversity. And I freely admit that I reject their vision of ethnic and cultural homogeneity. Page 194. I want no part in this socio-political vision. Try as I might, I see neither a shred of recognition for the lived reality of cultural diversity, nor even an iota of honesty when it comes to realizing the current aims championed by representatives of the new right. Because given its current state of social diversity, arriving at an ethnically and culturally homogeneous Germany would simply require ethnic and cultural cleansing. If they would just admit to this reality, then we could resume our conversation. But that's where it would begin. And if this point is clear, then it should also be clear that I'm not accidentally leaving anybody out. I haven't failed to consider anyone. But those who have swung further to the right over the past years never wanted to ride tandem on my bicycle. And so, if my editor or some other representative from the marketing department at my publishing house feels like inquiring about my target audience, I'd like to put this on record right here in my introduction. This book is for everyone who doesn't want to deny me my existence in this country, or the existence of my friends and our allies. Because the foundation of our existence here is a pluralistic and democratic society. We will not surrender this society so easily. And therefore, we cannot and will not permit volkisch ethno-nationalist thought to dominate the discourse of belonging in Germany. From the German Volk, which is often translated as people or nation, in a specifically German political context, the term volkisch could be almost synonymous with the English ethno-nationalist. Given the unique specificities of German ethno-nationalism in the context of National Socialism, German expressions such as völkisch und nationalistisch are typically translated here as völkisch ethno-nationalist to emphasize the specifically German connotations of this tradition. And so, until further notice, I will be excluding the 12.6% of the electorate in the 2017 federal election who voted for the AfD from my target audience. That's why my language isn't about provoking them when I use gender-inclusive pronouns. The original German makes use of the innen suffix as a gender-inclusive plural form for all people-related nouns. The author highlights this alleged provocation of the right here through his use of gender-inclusive grammar. In doing so, I simply attempt to acknowledge the reality that there are more than two gender identities. A fact that has, by the way, been affirmed by Germany's Constitutional Court since 2017. My terminology for describing the Jewish agents in my text follows its own logic as well. Here, the original German also describes the complications of using the innen suffix with the existing German plural nouns for Jews, Juden, Judinnen, due to the gendered vowel shift in the root word. Whenever possible, I use the words Jewish people in reference to the plurality of identities represented across the contemporary Jewish world. I use the term Jews, or more often than not, the Jews, when I wish to draw attention to the specific role ascribed to those actors in the German theater of memory. The idea behind this is simple. Jewishness and Judaism, in Germany just like elsewhere in the world, are composed of different, concrete Jewish people. The theater of memory, on the other hand, employs only the Germans vis-à-vis the Jews. The central concept of this book is de-integration. It should be obvious from the word itself that de-integration is a response to Germany's constant political and cultural demand for integration among its many minoritized communities. However, I do not direct my concept of deintegration solely in support of those individuals addressed in Germany variously as Turks, asylum seekers, North Africans, Muslims, economic refugees, migrants, or Jews. When I write about integration concepts or integration paradigms, I mean the larger construct of a cultural and political center that implicitly or explicitly conceptualizes itself as German. I argue that thinking in categories such as integration or guiding culture not only fails to prevent fantasies of ethnic homogeneity and cultural dominance, it also shares responsibility for the fact that these ideas haven't remained on the trash heaps of history where they belong. With the concept of de-integration, I propose a societal model that would render such neo-folkish fantasies as impossible as they are implausible. At the same time, the program of deintegration targets both a Jewish as well as an all-encompassing societal concern. The way in which Jewish people are employed in the German theater of memory, and the insight that this theater cannot be overcome without a fundamental critique of concepts of integration. This conundrum poses quite a falafel, even when viewed from the opposite perspective. Because every concept of integration necessitates the claim of a center that no longer corresponds to the social reality in which I or my friends live today. The break from reality that such an integration paradigm demands becomes particularly evident in the ongoing fuss about an alleged German guiding culture. And this phantasm is currently upheld in Germany through the pretense of a supposed Judeo-Christian tradition, coupled with an exhaustive discussion of the mass murder of Jewish people during the Second World War. And so, the acute correlation between Germany's self-conception and Germany's Jews renders the theater of memory a uniquely appropriate starting point for a critique of Germany's concepts of integration. Writing this book, I sometimes felt like that elderly Polish woman who in 2017 held up a sign that read, "I can't believe I still have to protest this fucking shit," during a demonstration for the right to access safe abortion services. 30 years after the end of the Cold War, which divided Germany into two unequal halves, two sides are again staring each other down across a no-man's land. But instead of an anti-fascist socialism against a free and Western capitalism, it's now actual societal diversity against a conservative revolution. Völkisch ethno-nationalist thought is back in the political mainstream. Sometimes I think I'm losing it, or I despair. And here, dear reader, you see a bit of how I work. Lamentation and writing are two facets of my authorial existence. This is a book by someone who did not set out to become a Jew, but rather a political scientist, an author, an intellectual, and a book by someone who in the end became a Jew as well. Someone who received his doctorate from the Center for Research on Antisemitism. Someone who forged new alliances to counteract the role assigned to him as a Jewish writer. Someone who co-organized the Deintegration Congress in 2016 and the Radical Jewish Cultural Days in 2017 at the Maxim Gorky Theater in Berlin in order to conceptualize new strategies for dealing with the role expectations of a German public. Please note that you will not find out much about my own life in this book. I'm not doing this to annoy you. I'm doing it because biographical confession is the active capital of every minoritized individual. It is the fuel of migrant, Jewish, queer, or feminist art, whose contents are first trapped, then refined, and finally consumed by a greedy public. Alas, my book is not an oil field. Its words are not available for representational fracking. It is instead my contribution to one of the most important social debates of the coming years, and it makes tangible suggestions for how one might position oneself in this debate. Rules of thumb, if you will. Or maybe rules of fist. 1. The Theater of Memory. Staged Remembrance. A few summers ago, my friends and I organized a movie night on a flat rooftop in the southeast of Berlin. Popcorn in one hand, beer in the other, we sat on the tar paper roof watching I Am Not Your Negro, a film about the U.S.-American philosopher and activist James Baldwin. In recent years, I've come to appreciate Baldwin, despite the peculiar things he's said about Jews. I am impressed by the composure with which he manages to bring issues to a point before allowing their consequences to fall suddenly like a hammer blow. Just take the following quote by way of example. History is not the past. It is the present. We carry our history with us. We are our history. I can think of a German equivalent for this passage. The opening lines to the novel Kindheitsmuster, Patterns of Childhood, by Christa Wolf. The past is not dead. It isn't even past. We separate ourselves from it and feel estranged. Page 9. Both authors underscore the central role that our histories play. Both claim that the past continues to operate on the present, even if we refuse to admit it. And both warn of the consequences of rejecting this insight. I resolved then, as I opened another beer, to begin my own book by grappling with German-Jewish history. We clanked bottles, raising a toast. The next afternoon, sitting in front of my laptop beside my second liter of coffee, the problems began in earnest. Because memory? Well, remembering, is the Achilles heel of post-war Germany. To commemorate the 40th anniversary of the end of World War II in Europe, President Richard von Weizsäcker held a speech in the Bundestag on May 8, 1985, which has become a defining document for the new German perspective on the war. And indeed, to its credit, the speech insists upon reflecting on the responsibility of German society and politics surrounding National Socialism. And this was something new back then. But at the same time, the then-president also impressed members of parliament with his claim that the 8th of May represented a day on which the Germans had been liberated from the inhuman system of National Socialist tyranny. His statement is so blatantly untrue that I often ask myself what could have motivated Weizsäcker to say a thing like this. Because the majority of Germans, of course, were not liberated on May 8, 1945. They were finally and definitively defeated after supporting the Nazi regime to the bitter end and still further beyond. National Socialism was, after all, truly a popular movement. As a legal scholar and historian, Weizsäcker knew exactly what he was saying. And quite obviously, his goal was not to describe historical facts, but rather to define a new way of remembering National Socialism's crimes. He makes this clear over the course of his speech, following a long list of the group's victimized.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?